Okay, is everybody back in? My dear friend, Sarah Tarter, is sharing this morning. I just want to introduce this amazing woman. I love her dearly. She's partnered with me in some things, and nobody knows the deep well that's inside of her. So I'm really excited about what she's going to share today, but I want to pray for her really quick before she gets started. You guys can just agree with me. Little side note, Sarah's really witty and funny. She makes me laugh all the time. So, Father God, I thank you for Sarah today. I thank you that she's going to speak the words of life, that they're going to come alive and come out of her. And we prepare our hearts to hear exactly what you're going to say today. And we thank you for the anointing upon Sarah. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning. I love how when you hear things released from other people in the house and it just seems to fit. And you don't know that until you start moving and walking. Do you know that I heard? I love mysteries. And if you're going to commit a crime, yeah. Close your ears. No. If you're gonna commit a crime, wear really bright colors so that you are on scene. So people are distracted by your clothing, what you clothe yourself with. So I didn't plan on this, but I'm like, you know what? I do not want to be seen. I don't want to be seen. I'm just a vessel about to commit a crime. No, I tell you though, if I had to be arrested, I would have to say I'm guilty of loving the Lord. Oh. Okay, so what Becca started with about the light and what Annie said about, you know, we got to keep that light filled with oil. And it has to start with us. But we have to obey the light. And so this message that I'm about to share, I'm right here with you. I'm talking to me too. And each one of you as an individual. And so as I was kind of preparing for this over the last several weeks, I had a friend call me from Lower 48, and she said, I'm praying for you. I know Father God's going to give you a blueprint, and he's going to, even if he has to wake you up at 4 a.m., I'm like, no, I'm not a morning person. Forgot about it, went to bed, opened my eyes, and it's 4 a.m. I'm like, that's got to be me. Close my eyes, open them, 4 a.m. I'm like, is that you, Lord? Okay, so if it's you, I'm like, oh, man, my bed is so warm and comfortable. You could just talk to me right here. You could just give me that download right here. I'm listening. 4 a.m. Like, okay, I better obey. But I'm thinking, my flesh is like, well, what if you get up and you don't get anything? But what if I do? At least I went. At least I obeyed. How many times are we not sure what the Lord is leading us until we start walking? So I got downstairs. I didn't want to wake Mitch, so I crept downstairs, got my Bible, sat down. It's like, I don't have my glasses. I can't see. All I could do is listen. Sometimes that's all he wants, is just listen. So, I'm listening, and then I hear obedience. I'm like, oh man, who wants to hear about obedience? You know? Well, it doesn't have to be as painful as it sounds, but so in that obedience, like I said, it's about me, it's about you. So with the acronym YOU, Y-O-U, back up. We have to be the strongest you, so that when we go out to the schools, to the community, to all those places that are declared, you have to be the strongest you, the brightest light. Amen? So, the title of this is Spice of Life, What's in Your Garden? And I thought, oh, when I heard Spice of Life, I'm thinking, well, let me just back up a little bit, because I don't know if you're anything like me, but I desire to hear the Lord's voice. And it wasn't like he said, Sarah, it's 4 a.m., get up, I'm going to give you a download, I'm going to tell you everything you need to know, all you have to do is write it down. It's going to be good. It's not like that. It's like you get that unction, and then you start to move, and then it's like, oh, I'm not sure if I'm going the right direction. But then he starts to unfold his word, and he starts to connect the dots, and you can see. But he requires usually that we have some kind of physical movement or mind shift or something, and get out of the comfort of our own bed. I tell you, my biggest fear kind of is about speaking today was if I had to sit there. Because I've never been there before. I never sat there. I've stood here before. Can't say I'm comfortable right now, but it's like we are so resistant when we have to go in unfamiliar places. So the expression spice of life is actually an expression from a poem like years and years ago, and it's the full expression is, variety is a spice of life, which gives it all its flavored. And it's a poem that compares unseasoned food, which is very bland, with an unexciting life in which nothing ever happens. But differences make life more interesting. And life would be boring if everything was the same. You are a spice. I am a spice. Spices, some of the characteristics of a spice are they grow, they're planted, they change. And to get the full essence of a spice, it usually has to be crushed, burned. There's some sort of contortion that has to happen for that sweet aroma to come out. And there's all different kinds of spices. There's mild, there's hot and spicy. Spices are highly valued, and spices also are, they kind of transform cultures. But I'm getting through my notes too fast. Okay, you. What is in your garden? What's in your inner garden? What are the things that you know are in your heart that you would like to keep hidden, that you try to protect, that you don't want anybody to see? Feel like you have shrubs and weeds in your garden? Disappointments, unforgiveness, things that you feel maybe hinder your growth. You try to tend to your own garden and it seems like you can't get through the struggle, you can't get through the conflict. You can't get through your own thoughts or situations, relationships, family, kids, parents. What's in your garden? And I know that Pastor Zach has done an amazing job at helping us focus not on ourselves and where we are and the things we struggle, but letting... you know, getting our view off of ourselves. But today I want you to look at yourself. I'm looking at myself. It may not be something specific that you can pinpoint in your garden. You just feel like there's not growth. And this is not on my notes, but I'm just going to share this. Years ago, well, when I was a little girl, all I wanted to do was grow up, be married, and have kids. I couldn't wait to have kids. I think I grew up. I did get married, but then we couldn't have kids. And I don't know if you've had anything that you've desired so much and so passionately for your whole life, and you've kind of set your heart and your mind on that, and then it doesn't turn out the way you planned. It was just disappointment after disappointment, and it's like you can't change it. You can pray, you believe God, you believe for His miracles, and so it was like, woe is me. Poor me. Can't have this. God doesn't love me. I'm insufficient. All the things, the feelings that you just kind of don't plan on going down that mindset, but sometimes life and its circumstances, whether you have anything to do with it or not, they have a way of molding and shaping how you think and feel. The things that you carry on your soul. I thought I was just, broken and poor me. But I didn't have a poor me attitude, so I thought. But I had a very good friend point out that she said, "Have you ever been jealous?" I'm like, "No, I'm not. I can't. It's like I've been a lot of things. Jealous is not one. You know, I love people. I love to encourage them and cheer in their success and something like that. So I'm like, it can't be." You know, it can't be jealousy. Got to work, and I was early. open my Bible. And Rachel was jealous of Leah because she didn't have children. I was like, oh my gosh. That jealousy took a bitter root. I did not know that was in my garden. And here's the beauty of it. It was painless and quick to be delivered because it's, oh God, forgive me. It's the power of His Word. So we can't, you know, sometimes we weed out our gardens, but sometimes it takes a loving someone because we don't see the things that are in it. And you know that bitterness and that jealousy, it disguised itself as self-pity or woe is me, or it's just because I love kids so much. No. Anyway, so back to your garden. Are there things in your garden that that when you look in your garden, you're like, you know, like I said, good or bad, if you feel stuck or like you're not hearing or direction or whatever it is. Anyway, it sounds pretty negative. But personally, I hope I never think of my garden as being all mature and not needing any attention. I think that is a very dangerous place to be when we, like one of the verses, I think it's in the Psalms, it's like, nobody likes to know it all. So, maybe you have dreams in your garden. Maybe there are things in your garden that you don't even know are there, gifts, talents. Hold on, I'm missing a very important part here. Oh, that's later. Anyway. So you and your garden, you have a private garden. Uninvited plants, shrubs. Remember the story of Samson, how he was, before he was even born, he was chosen by the Lord to deliver his people. He did great and mighty things. And then one day he woke up and he's like, I'm going to fight this battle this way. He woke up and thought, I'll do it the same as before and shake myself free. But he didn't realize that Yahweh had turned away from him. It's like Becca was saying in the offering, we get so used to doing things the way we do them, but they're old things. And I don't want to go try to do something, wake up and say, I'm going to do it this way because it worked yesterday and there was power there, and have the realization that, you know what, Yahweh is not in this. How about Jephthah? Remember him? He was a fearless champion chosen by God, literally kicked out of his own family. He was a man of valor. He had great negotiating skills and communication skills, and he was equipped well to implement strategies for war. He understood God's word and the history and the power of the word. You could say that he was well-versed in the scripture. Yet regardless how much he knew or how effective he was or how much the Lord had used him, he did something very routine, customary, familiar. He did what seemed like the right sacrifice, and he says, Lord, when I get home, I'm going to offer the first thing out of my house as a sacrifice to you. Remember that story? His daughter was the first thing that came out of his house, his only daughter. If we treat this as routine, I know this story. I heard it before. I know the outcome. We could miss the power. We could find ourselves like Jephthah and doing things that seem right, seem like a great sacrifice, but it's very costly. And the interesting thing is the Lord gave him the battle because he said, Lord, if you do this, if you give me this battle, I'll give you the first sacrifice out of my home. The Lord honored that. He gave him what he wanted. But it wasn't the best. It wasn't God's best. There are hard truths, hard lessons. The word will help you prevent unnecessary casualties. Friendly fire. We might think just because we can do it, then we have God's blessing. Romans 2:5, don't mistake his tolerance for acceptance. Ouch. Regardless of how long we have walked with the Lord, what we think our maturity level is or isn't, give the Holy Spirit access to your inner garden. And that is my compelling message to you today. One of the main points is to give God access to those most inner parts of your heart, because he is so gentle and he is so kind, and he's not going to go and rip your garden up unless it's going to save you. And that's his mercy. So you might have thoughts or behaviors in your garden that you don't want. What if you have some amazing spices in your garden that have not yet been tapped? There is a sweet aroma that is in you that is waiting to be released. So that when you go to these different places that were declared, that there's a fragrance that you release. And it only comes through oppressing, a crushing, things that happen in the inner garden. Let him have every spice. And here's the thing. You have a choice. We see, I just pointed out the negative things that you might kind of, well, mostly negative, things that you might find in your garden that only you know about. But can I tell you how the Lord sees your garden? We have a way of looking at things and trying to figure out things in the old ways and in our own ways. But can I tell you what God says about your garden? From Song of Psalms 4:12. My darling bride, you, that's you and me, my darling bride, my private paradise, fastened to my heart, a secret A secret spring are you, and no one else can have you. My bubbling fountain hidden from public view. What a perfect partner to me now that I have you. No matter what you think is in your garden, how bad it is, to him, you are his perfect garden. Your inward life is now sprouting, bringing forth fruit. What a beautiful paradise unfolds within you. When I'm near you, I smell the finest spice. For the clusters of my exquisite fruit now grow within your inner garden. And then he goes on to talk about there's spices listed in Song of Songs, but myrrh being one of them. Can I tell you that paradise unfolding is a process? The things we grow through in life, when he comes in his garden, or in our garden, he takes us through a process, but we have to let him in that inner garden. He loves our spice of life. He created us. Obedience. Don't tune me out. It never sounds fun. And it probably involves suffering. And I think that for some reason, completely understandable, we have such a mindset about suffering. It's like, oh, I don't want to suffer. Don't make me suffer. I don't want it to hurt. And we forget about that is a characteristic of Christ, long-suffering. And it's that suffering that brings out the true essence of the spice that's in us. Hebrews 5:8. But even though he was a wonderful son, speaking of Jesus, he learned to listen and obey through all his suffering. He did that as a man. It's something you have to learn. You have to listen. You have to obey. And you have to go through it. There's no way around it unless you refuse to let him in your garden. It's all suffering. We don't get to pick and choose. And if you back up in verse 4 a little bit, it talks about Jesus' life. He prayed. He had a passion. He agonized. He was devoted. He even said, spare me if it's possible, or spare this cup. Nobody wants to sign up for suffering, right? But it brings out something that is supernatural, that's not of our own, but it's what he created with us, and it's like in us. It's like the what he sees in our gardens. He sees the exquisite aroma, the exquisite fruit that's in his garden. This is kind of, well, it's not really funny. But it's kind of an oxymoron. It's like, and it's from 1 Peter chapter 2. It's like, oh, it's like if you suffer for Christ, it's like that is worth merit for, in God's view, you know, it's pleasing to God. And I'm like, well, I don't know if not suffering for him is any better, you know. But when you know the when you know the purpose, when you know that you stood on the truth and you've not wavered from the truth, it's like the suffering is part of it. If I'm out here doing my own thing, if I'm suffering, that's on me. But he still wants to come in my garden and help me where I'm at. You know, we have taken, I don't know if I want to veer too far from my notes, but it's somewhere in there. We have taken, allowed things to come into our garden, and sometimes there's no way around. Sometimes there's just planted in there. Somebody threw seeds over the fence, and they end up in our garden. And we begin to take on the flavor of that. So we bring the Bible over to where we are, and we try to find scriptures and verses to justify our behaviors, our thoughts, or our wounds, and protect our hearts, or settle offenses, or try to make it so we're still under the plumb line of the Word. But what we need to do is not remove His standard, but come under His standard. We might have strong feelings and beliefs and opinions about things, but you know what? Unless it lines up with the Word of God, the truth. I don't remember where I read it, but it's like, you know, God knows because He knows all the facts. So about myrrh. Do you know it doesn't come from a myrrh tree? Yes, it comes from, you know, and it's a very desirable spice. But you have to tap and chisel the tree, and then it's left just to drip. It's often called like the tree of tears or something like that. So it's actually what they call it is there's injury inflicted on the tree so that spice can be extracted. But it's not like a maple tree where you go plug it in and it just flows out, right? It's injured, it's tapped, it's then it lays to just drip for weeks. Then again they come back and they tap more and chisel more, and it's a process. Not so hard on the myrrh, but ask the tree. But here's a funny thing. It's like for the tree, that seems like a lot of suffering too. Sometimes you go through life's crisis and you're like, you feel like your whole tree has just been whacked off, right? There's hope. At least there's hope for the tree. If it's cut down, it will sprout again, and its new sprouts will not fail. Job 14:7. Obedience is not easy, but it's necessary for maturity and growth. It extracts the flavors and the spices that are in you that are needed by cultures, but it's a choice. I was thinking, okay, choice. You can obey or not obey. I'm like, ooh, is there a third choice? Yeah, in the middle. Lukewarm, not really a good choice there either, unless you want to be spit out by the Lord. So make a good choice. And only you can choose to do it. Nobody they could make you be obedient, but on the inside, it's like that obedience has to come from you. Nobody can do it for you. It's like, you know, if you go to the gym or anything you set your routine to, it's like it does no good to go to the gym and sit there and just watch. It does no good just to have a membership. It does no good just to go one day. Consistent. You have to let the Lord in your garden consistently. And through that, participating in the strengthening exercises. Every time I go to the gym, I'm like, Lord, remember, this is your temple. You build it. But I got to show up. You know, I have to talk myself into it sometimes, often, every time. But you know what? Afterwards, after the process, I'm happy that I did it. I'm glad that I endured, even though I didn't feel like doing it at all. Only you can make through, make up your mind to do it. And obedience, it can be the matter of life and death. Let no one say he is tempted. I'm tempted by God, for God cannot tempt by evil. Nor does God himself tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away from his own desires and enticed. Then, when his desires are conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when full grown, brings death. Let him come in your garden and find those hidden roots that you don't even know about. Let him come in your garden and nurture and prune and water those things that are in there. That those things we look at that we think are so ugly and stuff, he wants to take them and restore and refine. And we look at them as failures. I think that we have to rethink how we look at failures, because you know what? Failures are like learning opportunities. It's like, oh, that didn't work so well. Try this way. Failures, what I call failures, have brought some of the greatest outcomes. I would have never met Mitch had I not had a failure. No, he's not the failure. No, I'm just saying that, you know, looking at, I grew up in a Christian home, and my dad was a pastor, and early on, my parents got a divorce, so I developed a mindset that it's like, you know what, if Christian families can't even get married, what chance do I have? I mean, I was Christian too, but I was just little. I mean, in my mind, it's like if, because I didn't, you know, the suffering of going through parents that go through a divorce, even though, you know, relatively speaking, it was probably, I mean, I don't remember my parents ever fighting in front of us. None of that. It's just the lack of, you know, you feel unstable. You feel like you just can't, you know, it takes that structure that God has intended out of your family. And you don't equate that and verbalize that or process that when you're just little. I just knew that, you know what? I set my heart to it. I am never going to fall in love. I am never going to get married. It's like I just closed my garden right off. Hated Alaska. My dad move to Alaska. So I hate Alaska. Because my dad moved here, and I was mad. So my mom, in her wisdom, Sarah, if you don't tell him, you're only hurting yourself because you're walking in unforgiveness. So I didn't really tell him I hated Alaska because he moved here, but I did forgive him. I had a great dad. He's passed away now, but one thing I always knew growing up, I was loved. I was loved. But got to, so not only did I hate Alaska, I just moved to Alaska and went out in the bush. Like, I don't know what I was thinking. But it's one of those things that you look back and it's like, that was not me. That was the Lord's direction. And I would tell my dad, oh, I'm going to go out in the bush. I'm going to find the Lord. I mean, I already knew the Lord. I graduated from a Christian college. It's like I had those roots. And it's like, if you're not finding them now, you're not going to find them there. We look at our situations and stuff and say, if only I could sit under this teaching, it would be way better. If only I could go here and go to this conference and be filled with the anointing, I'd be so close to God. Things would change. If only I could do this, or if only I could do that. It's like, you know what? It doesn't matter where you are. Unless you give God access to the inner garden so that He can weed with you. He can show you things that you don't even know are there. So, I moved to Alaska, did a couple years in the bush, moved back into Anchorage. I didn't know Mitch yet. Then, I did not seek it out, but I was getting called, literally called by Principal Sarah, you got to come out here. You got to come teach out here. I'm like, there's no way I'm going out in the bush again. I was alone. I don't mind being alone because I was never getting married, never having kids. So I pretty much had to settle. You know, I'm going to be by myself. So I'm like, Lord, if I go out there, I am going to be so alone. I'm going to be so shut down in my garden. I already tried to walk through healing. You get to a point and open up and it's too painful. It's like, you can have everything, but just don't touch that. That's too painful. I cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel to walk through those wounds and those hurts and those scars. It's like, God, do not open that door out there. Close that door. Because if I go out there, it's like, it's the end of me. Well, guess where I ended up? Out there. But you know what? That's where He healed me. That's where He began to get in that inner garden and heal those old wounds. Then I moved back to Anchorage and started in the Anchorage School District and met Mitch and woohoo! Sometimes the Lord leads you places that you cannot, it's like, that is of the devil, I'm not going there. That is an attack of the devil. When we don't know what he knows all the facts. He is setting and orchestrating everything up. We have to trust that He is the best gardener. He is the gardener. I'm not here to call out sin or anything, but I'm also not here to tickle your ears. And I know for myself, like I said, I was raised in a Christian family. I don't know life outside of church. Well, that's not entirely true. But the point being, I've always been, it's like, you got to go to church on Sunday. That's just what you do. You go to church, you tithe. I've been in church, but I've had struggles on the inside that I could not overcome. So I know that there are people within the church that they have things in their life that they just struggle with and battle with. You don't wake up saying, I'm going to struggle today and I'm going to like take on this sin or do that or develop this attitude or that. Sometimes it just kind of creeps in. So years ago, I'm like, Lord, you could change this. You could. It'd be so easy for you. You parted the Red Sea. You raised the dead. You all these things, Lord. It would be so easy for you. I believe it. I have faith. It would be so easy for you to change. Just remove it. It's like, what is it to you, Lord? What is it to you? It would be so easy and so quick. And he said, but then you wouldn't know the power of my word. I said, okay. And I didn't understand that, and I didn't know what to do with that. But it's like, okay. The power of your word. If you say this, if you are the deliverer, then you have to come through for me. If you say it, it has to be true. It still wasn't a quick fix. But I had to obediently make some changes in my life, in my thinking, in my actions, in my behaviors. You know, what looked to me like something huge in my garden that I tried to hide, I had to sit, let him come and sit in my garden. I got up early every morning. Initially, I had to, like, set my alarm because it's like, okay, I've got to, you know, at least pray for 5 minutes and this and that. So I had to set my timers just because it was hard to sit there. It was a process. And then I realized after a while, it's like, you know what? I'm now setting my clock, so the alarm, so that I have to stop. See, you let him in your garden, and he begins to change and transform and have his way. And here's the funny thing. What I thought was big and huge was really nothing compared to what was underneath. I was like, oh, the little character flaws. But you know what? If I didn't let him in my garden, I would have never had a song. I would never had music. I would never have friends that would literally lay their lives down for me. Don't be afraid to let him in your garden. Y-O. I'm like, oh, unique does not start with O. Unique, Y-O-U, unique. There is no spice like you. You are so valuable. You are a one-of-a-kind spice. That's what unique is, one-of-a-kind. There is no one like you. Together we make up a variety of the spice of life. In the body of Christ, I know this is so familiar, but don't let it be routine. The Apostle Paul likens the body to different parts. eyes, feet, hands, but together we make up one body, Jesus being the head. But you know what? Nobody signs up to be the liver. You know? That's not seen. That's not out front important. That doesn't speak. But it's vital. And like I said, I'm talking to myself too, because we come in a body and sometimes we wonder, where do I fit? Where does my part go? Do I even fit? Do I want to fit? I like how the Mirror Bible says about in 1 Corinthians, talking about the spiritual gifts and the ministries of the Holy Spirit. Spiritual manifestations are supernatural, yet often very natural. Just because it is spirit dimension does not mean you cannot understand what God's Spirit is saying to you. We have seen, Zach spoke on this a while ago, talking about the gifts and the ministries. That is not what defines us. Jesus defines us. But for some reason, we kind of have compartmentalized these things. Well, if I do this, if I have this title, that makes me more important or more significant, or you know, if I have a bigger gathering or more likes or more subscriptions to my channel. I don't have a channel, but I don't even have social media. I'm just saying, the world measures importance and values by a way different standard than the Word of God. And Paul says it's about the gifts. It's like, don't be uninformed. Don't be confused. Don't be arrogant. Don't be unaware. Don't misunderstand all these things. Those are some pretty hard not do's and don'ts. Know the truth. Have clear knowledge. And the only way you're going to know the truth and have clear knowledge, if you let the Lord in your inner garden and hear Him, meet with Him, intimacy with Him, so you get your truth firsthand. Firsthand. So that when you're light and you go out, there's something to draw from in your well. Because here's the reality. We gather on Sunday. What about the you Monday through Saturday? Who's filling your tank there? What are you feeding on there? We cannot rely on, I mean, there's so much available outside of the church to tap into different ministries and preachers and speakers and conferences and yada, yada, yada. But you know what? If they're a bubble off, you're going to be two bubbles off. And then you're going to share, and that they're going to be three bubbles off. You have to know for yourself. And here's the other thing. Because there is so much out there, if you don't have this in you, you're not going to know if somebody's a bubble off. It's not going to be obvious. It's going to be, the word says, they sneak in like, what do they sneak in like? They just sneak in among you. They look like you. They're sheep in wolf's clothing. It's not going to be obvious. Look, the devil is not stupid. He's a loser, but he's not stupid. There is one mediator. And you and I have direct access. God has, this is from 1 Corinthians 12, 18, but God has carefully designed each member and placed in his body to function as he desires. Verse 19, diversity is required. You're not going to look and smell like everybody else. That would be bland, unseasoned, boring life. There's no spice. Spice of life? There's no spice. It's just life. If the body consists of one single part, there wouldn't be a body at all. Many parts, different functions. And you are the body of the Anointed One. And each of you is unique and a vital part of it. That's verse 27. Those are not my words. Those are his words. You are unique and a vital part. No matter who you are, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, no matter who you know. Paul names some things that hinder spiritual growth. And I'll just pick one that I feel like the Lord has highlighted. It's comparing yourself to others. See, when I was not able to have kids, I started to compare myself, my worth, to others who were able to have kids. And maybe it's something else. Maybe whatever, if you find yourself comparing yourself to others, you are not designed to do that. There is one that you should compare yourself to, and that is the word, which is Jesus. That is your standard. That is your plumb line. That is where your worth comes from. That is where your value comes from. That is where your fragrance comes from. It may involve suffering. Just saying. Don't say I didn't tell you so. Don't say I didn't tell you. I was speaking in tongues, if you didn't notice. Don't say I didn't tell you. Don't say I didn't warn you. See, somebody likes it. We are one spirit, one mediator, but we all drink from the same well, the same spirit. And guys might not know this, or they might, but you know that you can have a bottle of perfume, same bottle, same source, and you can spray it on different people and it smells differently. It gives off a different fragrance. One source, a different fragrance. The whole point that I'm trying to make is that we are all individuals, and we have to let the Lord come in our garden. If our garden is strong, guess what happens to the whole body? Yes. Cross-pollination, but that's not what I was thinking. You know, spices complement each other. What I was thinking is that, you know, I know this is an apostolic house, fivefold, moving in a place that this church hasn't been before. And you know, the greatest the greatest part that you can be is being the most unique you. Building, allowing the Lord to build and cultivate your garden, and so that when we come together, we are one strong unit. Because if you think of a body in the natural, if you got some cancer running through you, or you are even missing a big toe, you're going to have a limp, something that it's not going to be whole. And the same is true in the body. If there's things that are undealt with or need attention, nobody can walk through it. They can walk through it with you, but they can't do it for you. You know, Peter, when he was in prison, sitting in jail, guess who bailed him out? Guess who bailed him out? It wasn't the prophet, apostle. It wasn't Samson, although he probably wasn't in that era. But you know, it wasn't the big wigs. I say that respectfully. It wasn't the highly gifted. It was the church body. In fact, it was the little girl that's like, he's at the door, and the body's like, no, he's not. You are significant. We need the full functioning, full fivefold, full gifts, full use, full everything, that each one, no matter what part they in, no matter where their function is, wherever their light is called to shine, we need to be strong. And the only way that we can be strong, our strongest full of potential, is if we allow the Lord in our inner garden and cultivate our spices. How about Peter and John? I love this passage from Acts chapter 4 because Peter and John, yes, they were apostles, but you know what? They were also ordinary men. They weren't trained in the religious scrolls. They weren't. They didn't have any. You know, they had everyday occupations. But you know what? They were recognized because they spent time with Jesus. I want to be recognized because I spent time with Jesus, not by any title or where I go or if I'm attending church or this or that. I want to be recognized because I can tell she's been with Jesus. The time will come when sound doctrine is not the standard. I think it's probably already here. We have to know the word firsthand. And here's the thing. When I got up, determined I was going to set my course, I made up my mind. I didn't feel a change. I didn't see a change. I felt the struggle, I felt the suffering. Sometimes I fell asleep, but I still got up. Failure is when you don't get up. Failure is when you quit. Are you willing to let the Lord in your garden? In the privacy of your own secret prayer room, closet, wherever you do. The point is, it's like the gym. You got to show up. Not just show up, participate. Consistently. The Holy Spirit is gentle and kind. He is peace, He is joy, He is long-suffering. Obey the light. I'm going to close with this passage from Song of Solomon. And it's, you talking to the Lord, me talking to the Lord, if you want to let Him in your inner garden. Until the darkness disappears and the dawn has fully come. In spite of the shadows and the fears, no matter what you find in your garden, in my garden, I will go to the mountaintop with you, the mountain of suffering love, and the hill of burning incense. Yes, I will be your bride. Then may your awakening breath blow upon my life until I am fully yours. Breathe upon me with your spirit wind. Stir up the sweet spice of your life within me. Spare nothing as you make me your fruitful garden. Hold nothing back until I release your fragrance. Come, walk with me as you walked with Adam in your paradise garden. Come taste the fruits of your life in me. Will you make up your mind to be his bride? To let him in your garden? Your turn.
Okay, everybody stand up.
No.
You wait, you open it back up. Oh, yeah, you're going to read it again. Okay. As soon as she started reading that passage, my heart just started just, and the stirring of the Lord inside of me. And I want everybody to just take the position before the Lord and open your heart. And when she reads this, pray it for yourself too. So let's activate.
I have made up my mind. Until the darkness disappears and the dawn has fully come. In spite of the shadows and fears, I will go to the mountaintop with you. The mountain of suffering love and the hill of burning incense. Yes, I will be your bride. Then may your awakening breath blow upon my life until I am fully yours. Breathe upon me with your spirit wind. Stir up the sweet spice of your life within me. Spare nothing as you make me your own fruitful garden. Hold nothing back until I release your fragrance. Lord, hold nothing back. Come walk with me as you walked with Adam in your paradise garden. Come taste the fruit of your life in me. Oh, Lord, prepare the garden. Use any tool you want. I open wide and give you full access to dig up, to root out, to fill, to water, to cause growth. Shine your light on my garden. Search my garden and find treasures that I didn't even know are there. And use them for your glory. And as we go out from here today, Lord, let us be dressed in your spice of life, Lord, that we would be so colorful that we would not be seen, Lord, but you would be seen. In Jesus' name.